Canaan. I want to begin to talk to you about how we will enjoy the good things that God has in store for us. You know, for us, this year is the year of glad tidings of good things. And the Lord wants to take us beyond hearing good news and to actually receiving good things. We should go beyond that. You know, you perceive the sweet aroma of the jollof rice, you just perceive it. But when you eat the jollof rice, then you are participating in the good things. The good news is not enough. We, the believers, must learn to go beyond that and to begin to receive good things. God wants us to have good things in our lives. He wants us to participate. He wants us to enjoy them and have them in our life. Good things, not just hear about things, but He wants all of us to have good things in our lives. And through the course of this, I have been laboring to find a way to express God's thought to you and to lead you, to guide you by God's word as to how you will be able to get these things, how you'll be able to begin to enjoy them, how you'll be able to move your Christianity beyond a Christian that enjoys and hears good things, but a Christian that actually receives good things, that actually have these good things in your hand. You have them, you see them, you have them, you possess them, you are enjoying them. You are not just hearing something that you have heard, you are actually participating in this thing. Hallelujah. We can talk about some place that is a great place, but there's a difference when you are participating in that place and you are enjoying from that place. Somebody can say, I'm in a great company of people, but it's not about just being a great company of people and hearing the exploits of these people. It's about these exploits also being in your life. It's about you also having the testimony of Christianity. Come on, it's not about something from the altar, something from a great man of God. It's not about something big you are hearing from somebody saying something happened in my life. It's about something great and mighty in your own life. It's not about we want to move beyond the promises of God to the manifestation where we are actually enjoying the promise. It's good to have the promise. The promise is the starting point. But we must actually have the manifestations. Before the end of this year, every member of this ministry will enjoy good things. They will have manifestations, real manifestations of the goodness of God. That they will move in the relationship with God beyond the chapter and verse to actually God is good. I have experienced it. I have what? Tasted. I have tasted of the goodness of God. I have tasted of the goodness of God in my life. You go beyond just, I hear about God and I know He's good and all that, but you go to actually taste and participate of God in your life. And that is my prayer for this year for you. And I pray that, and I hope that as we continue to teach these things, they will help you. And so I'm talking about Canaan. Canaan, the believer's guide to good things, how you will get into good things. We're going to follow the story of the Israelites through from Egypt through to Canaan, right? And so, point number one, I want us to just begin with point number one. So you're going to take point. We're going to be point number one, point number two, maybe to point number 35. I don't know where we're going to, but it's going to be a very long series. So get ready. It's going to be a very long series. This one I'm seeing doing 13, 14 hours most likely. So get ready. Amen. Canaan. All right, so point number one, Canaan. Canaan, the land that flowed with milk and honey, like we know, was not the idea of the Israelites. It was God's idea. The good things I'm talking about is not, they're not actually coming from you, they're coming from God. It's God's idea. It is God's idea to give you good things. It is His good pleasure to bring you into a place, into a land flowing with milk and honey. It is a promise He made of His own free will. The Bible says of His own free will He beget us. Of His own free will He made this promise to you. Good things in your life. He wants to bring good things. Of His own free will He made the promise of Canaan to Abraham. It was not what Abraham did. It was what He wanted to give to Abraham. So we must understand that the good things we are talking about in our lives, they do not come into our lives because we desire them. They are not our ideas. They are God's ideas. Your life actually begins with God. He taught your thoughts, your thinking. He put the thing you are thinking about in your own mind. So you say, I'm thinking about all these things. I want to have these things. It is God that designed you to think about those things. He put those thoughts there. We must understand that, because sometimes we feel that we are running to receive something. We feel that we are running to go and get something and we are asking God to come. No, it is God that put those things there and said, I want to give you those things. There's a difference. You are actually walking from God's perspective to get those things. It is God's promises. You are walking on God's promises. Everything in our lives will begin with the promise of God. Are you still here? Deuteronomy chapter number 1. You will see that Canaan was a promise of God. It comes out of God's goodness. Our journey to good things starts with God's word. Our journey to good things starts with God's word. In Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Behold, I have set the land before you, Canaan, we know, good milk and honey, before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and their seed after them." You see now, it is God saying, "I will give you this land." It is coming from the goodness of God. It is coming from His promise. The good things I'm talking about in your life, they steam out, they come out of the goodness of God, out of His promise. "I just want to do good things in your life." He is a good God. I love to begin. I mean, funnily, through the course of this teaching, like I told you, for weeks we'll be doing this, you'll be hearing me saying the things I've told you before. We'll put them together all in one series, and we'll go from Egypt down to Canaan. But the truth is that we must rest on the goodness of God. Come on, God is good. I did a teaching sometime. God is good. We must wake up and say, "He's good." It's not about me trying to get something from God. It's about His goodness. It's about His goodness. So when we're talking about good things in your life, it is because God is good. When we're talking about going towards Canaan, it is because God made a promise to you and says, "I am full, I am abundant, and I want to bless you. I want you to enjoy good things." Hallelujah. Now let's move to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 6. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 6. The Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You see now, this is the goodness of God. This is the goodness of God. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You are seeing the goodness of God here. Our salvation, the very first step into the good things of God, did not begin with us. It began with Jesus Christ. It began with Him coming to die for us, and then we entered into it. And now we are talking about enjoying good things because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. We are without strength and Christ died for us. It's not about us. You see, it began with Him. This whole thing, these good things, the good things I'm talking about, the good things I'm expecting you to receive and see and enjoy in your life, they're coming actually from the goodness of God, not from your works. It is not because of what you have done. It is called promised land, not deserved land. It's a promised land, promised to you. It's not about what you deserve. It's about what He has promised to you. It's about what a good God has promised to you. A good God promised you something. He said, "I'm giving you this." It's not about what you deserve. It's a deserved land. "I deserve this. Oh, I'll get what I deserve." No. You get what God promised you. From His goodness, from His riches, He promised you. "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory." All your needs. From His riches, He says, "I want to give you a portion of this. I want you to inherit this portion. I want you to have this portion for yourself. I want you to enjoy these good things." Hallelujah. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." The ungodly, not the righteous, not the one that worked for it. And so when we're talking about good things, you know, people begin to miss it. So I'm starting from God's point, Canaan. Yeah, people miss it. It's like what you do. You know, they say this pastor, they don't talk about what you do. They don't talk about all that. No, actually it is God's goodness. We'll never ever merit it. That's why people talk about grace and say unmerited favor. "I just chose you and I want to bless you." I mean, that's the starting point. If you cannot open, sometimes people cannot even open up their heart to receive the things because they are thinking about a deserved land. Why God is saying, "This is a promised land. It's out of my goodness that you are receiving." In 1 John chapter number 4, you see again another scripture. The Bible says, "Hearing is love." Hearing is love. "Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You see that again. This is love. He says, I want to describe it for you. So where did this thing begin from? From us or from God? Not that we love God. But no. Now we love God now. We love God now. But He says, no, you must understand, this is real love. God's love for you. It did not start with you loving Him. Christ died for the ungodly. It is beautiful to establish Christians on the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. We don't cry for the mercy of God because of where we are, because of what we have done. We cry and we seek God's mercy in our lives and favor and goodness because of who He is. He is good. He is rich. He is great. It is from His greatness, from His goodness, from His riches that He pours down into our lives. So He says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. We love God now, but He loved us first. He loved us first. So these good things, the good things that will enter into your life, the good things that you are seeing, and the greater things He wants to do in your life, they are coming into your life because He loves you. It is His love, it is His goodness, it is His promise, it is His greatness. Why? He just wants to lavish on you. Simple. Christ died for the ungodly. Religion tells you that you have to have been godly. If you were godly, then Christ would not have needed to die. If you already had it put together, then He wouldn't have needed to die. You see the idea now. So we didn't have it put together. That is the very first element. The first element of receiving and walking in the goodness of God and the things of God in my life is that God is good. This is the basic first statement the believer should embrace. God is good. All good gifts come from God. God is good. We keep begging believers. We keep having to say these things. Because sometimes we see God as the traitor. We see God as the one who wants to harm us. Who wants to do something because of this. I don't like you. You see what you did. You just did this. So turn that way. No, that's not God. It is us. We step out of that goodness. In fear, we step out. And then we are expecting evil in our lives. It's not because it's not God. And then when these things happen, guess what? It's because we are standing inside fear. We are afraid. And so, because we are afraid, the devil has an inroad into our lives. And then these things happen. You say, I said it. God will punish me. He's not even trying to punish you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to call you to Himself. He's always good all the time. All the time. God is good. So will you say it now? You're looking at me like as if I'm talking nonsense. So maybe if you say it, it will make some sense to you. God is good. Let it go beyond religion. No matter what I see in my life, the first thing is God is good. If I'm in a hole, you say, but Pastor, you are actually right now in a ditch. God is good. You say, but this thing just happened. Didn't you see? Look at your house. It's flooded and you come back and the whole place is messed up. God is good. He's always good. He will forever be good. It's not a religious something. It's a real something. The land flowing with milk and honey, is you enjoy it and enter into it because God is good. The goodness of God must be real to you. You can't enjoy these good things if you think about them as something you deserve. If you are trying to deserve them, you are starting from the wrong point. Point number one, Canaan is God's idea. Good things in your life is God's idea. God's idea. God's idea. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's just keep going. I'm going to just keep pressing. I think I can do 3 points today. If you stay with me like this, looking at me like this, then I will go 3 points today. Alright. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says, but God who is rich in mercy. Just look at it. Okay, can we do verse number 3? Can we do verse number 3? Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Next verse. But God, you see, your life begins with God. He steps into your life and changes your life. He says, I love you. I'm giving you this stuff. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. For His great love wherewith He loved us. So we were in a certain place, in a certain state, but God happened to you. I said, God happened to you. But God, He happened. You know, when they say the Big Bang, the earth just boom, and then the earth just formed. There's a Big Bang in my life. The day God happened to me. It was not because of my goodness. It was not because I deserved it somehow. It was because He happened in my life. He just happened. And then I came to realization. And I saw Him for the first time. He opened my eyes because He's a good God. Because he's rich in what? Mercy. And he has what? Great love. Come on. This is love. Are you seeing? So, good things will begin from love. They will begin from what? Mercy. Goodness. They'll begin from his goodness. They'll begin from his love. They'll begin from his mercy. We're not done. You'll see grace inside also. You see grace inside. They'll begin from his promise, from his greatness. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Next verse. Even when we were dead, when we were dead in sin, what did he do? He quickened us together with Christ. By grace, he has saved. Grace. You see grace is there? Grace. Mercy, love, and grace. You see those things just now, those three ways. You see just now, you see love there, you see mercy, you see grace now. By grace you are saved. Next verse, we're going to read some verses down. And had raised us up together and made us, he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us sit there. We didn't deserve it, but he made us sit there. We're not qualified, but he made us sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Next verse. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. This him. This is what he wants to do. He wants to show in ages to come. Not now. Not now. In ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. You see kindness? You see all those things? I'm reading on purpose. I'm bringing this together. He wants to show in the ages to come. Not now. It's like I'm buying you a gift. And I'm buying this gift. And this is the motive is so that later, I'll be able to tell other guys, come on, I'm a good guy. Come on. You are just enjoying the goodness of God. No reason from your side, nothing from you, no reason of yours. Just wants to just do it, and he says, "I choose you." Come on. There were many people in the world, but he chose Abraham. Why? That's what I'm saying. We have to always cross this white barrier because believers are always. I want to know, and I've told you this clearly, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. He wants to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Finish. Somebody say why? That's the why. Finish. So we are beneficiaries of, come on, of his grace. Not because of us, but because he wants to use us to show something beautiful. Hallelujah. Next verse. We'll still read some verse. For by grace ye are saved through faith. And that not of yourself. Not of self. It is what? Gifts. You see gifts here again? Gifts. You know, somebody says, when somebody gives you a gift, there's something about the gift. Yeah. Sometimes people will give you gifts out of the goodness of their heart because of the greatness and what they actually have. I'm telling you. And God is so great and so rich. He created the universe. And he says, I just want to just lavish a gift. Gift of God. It is the gift of God. So what do we do with the gift? Come on. You take it. I mean, if there is actually a hidden motive, I've shown you the motive already just now in verse number 7. But if there's actually a hidden motive in this gift towards us, I will take his hidden motive. I like God's hidden motive. I like his hidden agenda. Come on. I'm speaking to people who are just too smart. People who calculate, what to calculate? I don't understand. If you want to take hidden agenda, take God's hidden agenda. Say he has a hidden agenda. The only possibility of his hidden agenda is more blessing. That's the truth. That's the truth. But Psalm is saying, the Lord shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. He says, the Lord increase you more and more, you and all your children. Now, if he takes your life, he wants to continue keep taking you upward. So if he takes my life, he says, what's your hidden agenda? What do you want to do in my life? I don't care. Just take it. Anything hidden in your mind, do it to me. Because he's a good God. So I mean, anything that comes from God will be good. Good God. He only does good stuff. So if he takes your life and has hidden agendas, please, they are very good hidden agendas. Are you still here? Canaan is grace. That's Canaan. Canaan is grace. Canaan speaks of grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. We don't just declare that in everywhere like people say, but I mean, calm down. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It says, let it rest with you, let it abide with you. Come on. I want to enjoy the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ brings good things into my life. By grace, I will enjoy these good things. Canaan speaks of mercy, it speaks of love. Speaks of God's abundant blessing. And it began from his heart to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter number 24. A lot of verses, we're just going to be taking them and reading them and go. Keep going forward. Joshua chapter number 24. Verse number 13. You see that now? See that there? And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. I think we skipped a verse there. Ouch. Can you go back to Ephesians chapter number 4? There's something I want to read. I just want to take that word because we need it. In verse number 8, we read 8 last. Go to verse number 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse number 9, Paul says something in verse number 9 I love. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No works. You don't do anything. You just receive it. Right? Now, so let's go to Joshua 24. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, no work, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and on olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. That's Canaan. Is Canaan too good for you? I mean, I didn't feel it to be this difficult, but the way you guys are looking at me is like, no, Pastor, this is not possible. That's why I asked that question. I mean, look, that's God. Is it possible? Yes. Good things abound in your life. You will enjoy good things, healing for your body, provisions for you. I mean, supply, defense, good things will happen in your life because of God's love. You don't need to labor for it. I mean, there are people here just now, they're eating vineyards and olive yards which they did not plant. They're living in cities which they did not build. Come on. Land for which they did not labor. Believers need to wake up and begin to enjoy Canaan. That's the good things of God. And there's a guide. You say, I know all these things. That's why I say a guide. A believer's guide. I want to guide you. So starting from this is the first point number one. There's a guide to it. Good things. Come on. It's possible. It's real. It's real. In Joshua 25. Is that Joshua 25? What did I give you? Joshua 25? Joshua 21:45. Go back. 21:45. Can everybody read for me? 1, 2, go. Did you see good things here just now? Come on, can you read it again? 1, 2, go. You see it now? They didn't just hear about Canaan. Come on. They didn't hear good news. When you begin to hear about Canaan, that's good news. When you begin to live in Canaan, that's good things. When we hear about Canaan, we hear about Canaan so much. But God wants us to actually live in Canaan. Enough for believers to hear about Canaan. And that's something, I mean, you see, I'm stressing, I'm saying these things over and over again through the course of my teachings this year. Because God spoke to me. He said, let's stop this thing. It's not about us just hearing about a place. There is a place. It's not about a place. It's a here and now. It's not about Canaan. It's not about something. It's about the things he wants to do and give to us now. We must not just hear about the land that flows with milk and honey. We must live in that land. We must live in that land. And through the course of this teaching, I'm going to take you step by step to how we actually live there. Live in that land. And the Bible says, of all the good things that God promised them, that spoke to them, spoke to the house of Israel about, all came to pass. Come on. Good things abound in your life. Yes. All God's good things for your life, they will all come to pass. Yes. You will enjoy them. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. You're not going to hear about them. You're not going to hear about Canaan. You're going to live in Canaan. Yes. You will live there. Oh, hallelujah. All came to pass. All came to pass. Point number two. The disconnect between God's promise and my presence. There's a disconnect between God's promise and my presence. He has promised me Canaan. He has promised me good things all around, but my present condition is different. It's disconnected. It's not linear. It's not linear. Right now we are in Egypt. It's as if we are in the wrong starting point. Right now we are in Egypt, and it's not talking about this is the goodness of God. How he just the gospel is too good to be true news. Look at this. You are in Egypt. He's not talking about and imagine somebody in Egypt in slavery. You would think that the good things, the good things God will speak to that person concerning will be, you will not be a free man. At least there seem to be a level of connection. When you become free, you now get a good job, you now begin to work, you now buy a house, and you now buy a land, you now buy olives. The promise of God is just too heavy. It's just disconnect. I mean, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? And this is the problem. I hope I can get you. I've dropped point 1.2. I hope I can get you to connect back today. You must connect. It was John Maxwell, a great man of God. He said, it is the start that often stops people. But you know, it's in business, in leadership, and all those kind of stuff. He said, it is the start that often stops people. You know, it's the same thing here. The disconnect. I said, all that mighty man of valor, who are you talking to? That one. You see, there's always a big disconnect. It's always like, who are you talking to? I mean, you say good things, they were expecting that we move from here to this point. And you expect that if God wants to speak to me, he will speak to me about freedom. He said, pass other side. He said, I'm giving you a land, cities, only. And you're not even going to get a job to get it to. He said, I'm working as a slave now. The next point will be for me to get a job. He said, forget the other side. Forget the other side. You are working as a slave now. I'm going to move you. He paints a picture that is beyond your dreams. Come on. God is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all we can ever ask or imagine. He blows your mind, literally. He blows your mind. And then this is where people start to say, Pastor, don't they lie? Don't they wash us? Pastor, don't they wash us? All these pastors, they get sweet mouths. Man, God gets sweet mouths. Because God starts talking to you about cities you will live in, you did not build, vineyards you will eat, you did not plant. And then there's that disconnect. It is this starting point. I don't know, I just pray we can cross this point if you're with me today. I pray we can cross this point. I mean, the good things are not too big for you. I pray they're not just too big for you, that you can actually receive them. God says that you're going to be president of a large company. You just say, it's a lie. It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. It's a lie. You are used to everything is a lie. But, I mean, we have to watch the man who promised. Come on. We have to look at the person who said it. You know, it might be, listen to me, it might be really big, like we are seeing, I imagine, a slave in Egypt. Owning cities, and you will not even work to own them. A bad guy. But who said it is important? It's not God. It's not your elder brother. I know your elder brother. Should I just talk about him in public? Huh? They can do. Go to my when I was in school. When I was in school, my father passed when I was in school. And so I was still in school, my younger self was still in school. So they say, you will take care of this one, you will take care of this one. I said, okay. Then I'll go. I was doing well, reasonably well at least. No, I was doing very well, actually. I'm just trying to be nice. See, money has finished. I finished. As I'm just talking to you now, I don't have any money. This 5,000 naira in my pocket is all I have between. What's today's date again? He doesn't know the date suddenly. From 18th to 26th before they pay, this is all I have. Hey! Kai! You even me, the 200 naira transport I have, it's as if I should even add it to him. I say, brother, you need this more than me. Elder brother. They can lie. They can even promise and fail. See, once they say there's a promotion coming. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. That God will give me that promotion. Once I get that promotion, everything has changed. Once he gets the promotion, you know, he gets the promotion. Maybe after 2-3 days, somebody will say, they don't promote it. You know, say, you not get it, you not say, mm-hmm. See, it's not like what we thought. There are many things. Huh? Say, but after this next year, there's a course I'm going to take. See, they will do you. They can promise and fail. But the God that has promised us is able to do all things. We can dream, we can imagine, and he will surpass it. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And Mary asked the same question. She bothered about the same things you are bothered about. She says, how can these things be? Seeing that I know not a man. I mean, if you are talking to a married lady, then I will understand. You know, I've not given birth for the past 5, 6, 7 years. And you now come and say, you shall conceive. Come on, there's a connection there. They say, you shall conceive, there's a husband, then conception is going to happen. Now there's no husband. He just comes in and he says these beautiful, great things concerning your life. You must understand God. Come on, you must understand God. That is how he speaks. That is how he speaks. But you must believe. This is where it starts from. Your belief is important. You must believe. You must connect with God. You must open up your heart and you must believe. In 1 Samuel chapter number 14. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. Look at that. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. I want to begin a lot of scriptures. Verse number 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come. And let us go over unto the garrison of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. But there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Where you are is not the issue. Come on, remember we've talked about this before. Come on, I've done some teaching in this direction. With God, there's no advantage or disadvantage. It's only with man that we have advantage and disadvantage. Can you remember that? Esther, we talked about Esther. We looked at a lot of stories. A lot of Bible people, we looked at their story, looked at their lives, where they came from. Very bad places. You know, Esther was an orphan. He says, so therefore she has been disadvantaged. No, God don't have disadvantage. Where you are right now and what he has promised you, they don't have to connect in a straight line. What you have to do is believe. Believe. Please quickly go to Luke 1. I should read that first. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Let's read this also. What you have to do is believe. Luke chapter 1. Verse number 45. Luke 1:45. You should see that there. Luke 1:45. All you have to do is believe. It's at this point many people begin to doubt God's word. At receiving the promise, the doubt comes in. But what does the Bible say to you? Come on, everybody read again with me. 1, 2, go. That believes. For there shall be a performance of those what? Things which were told her from the Lord. Believe. This is the start point now. This is your point. God's word, God is God. He speaks big things. And your point is belief. You have to believe. You have to believe. It should not be too big for you. Don't begin to weigh your advantage, disadvantage. The most important thing in your life is God has said it. Come on. Where you are doesn't really matter. We read Joshua just now. Remember when we read Joshua, I said everything came to pass. Did they get into the land? Did they eat the land? Yes. Were they slaves in Egypt? Yes. Did they need to not get jobs and work for 3-5 years? No. They got into the land. Just as God said. You must believe. You have to believe. That's how you connect with God. Come on. That's how you connect with God. That's what pleases Him. Faith. Our belief. We have to believe. That's the point. He said he's talking to people that are slaves in Egypt. He's not talking about setting them free. Many a time, the reason why we don't connect with God, truthfully, I know you maybe are teachings in this direction, I've not even done a teaching in this direction, but many times the reason why we don't connect with God is that our dreams and what we desire and what God wants to give to us, they don't even connect. You are thinking about, what you are thinking about is small milk, I just, if I can manage this. What is thinking about is giving you millions. You see that two of you are not working together. Can two work together except they be in agreement? Sometimes your dreams are just too small. So I'm talking to you, like, what is it? Then you know, just now you say God is saying all this is concerning you, and you are like, now me they thought to have been somebody went in my back. Yes. Then you come to God and you are saying, God, you do this 2000 naira. Like, who they thought to? Now me have been who they thought to? Now in Jamaica I've been at me. Because I'm able to do more than that. So there's no connect. Sometimes there's no connect. His words, you see, they are too big. You come, your stuff too small. But we have a big God. He wants to do big things in your life. That's the starting point. That's the starting point. You have to now believe. You have to turn. You have to start saying, my starting point, I'm not at the wrong place. See, I'm at the wrong place. She's an orphan. He doesn't have a job. Come on. How old is his advantage? I'm not tall enough. I'm not fair enough. I'm not fine enough. I'm not this enough. I'm not qualified enough. God says, I want to bless you. You start with all your disadvantage. But he doesn't look at those things. He doesn't look at them like that. Canaan, the promise of Canaan was for people. In fact, it's we understand that sometimes because of our trust in ourselves, he ensures we first of all break down first. I'm just saying, you look at it. So that no flesh will glory in his presence. Sometimes you will say, "Na me duan," not because I too much. I'm telling you. Because these guys, these Israelites that are in Egypt now, that are slaves now, they were in their houses. They were in their houses free. And there was no food. And then they brought them down to Egypt. And they stayed in Egypt then when Allah started. It is then in Anu who said, wouldn't it be easier to just have made them great and rich from freedom? He first of all made them slaves first. Come on. And then he says, I want to show my mighty power in their lives. God wants to magnify his name in your life. Yeah. Take Joseph. You know, we can't really talk about this thing without talking about Joseph. Joseph was a free guy. If you take the promise, come on. If you take the promise of prime minister, great person, where will you take him from? If you're writing his story, you want Joseph's story to start from, come on, free guy, goes to a good school. What's your preferred course? Now I think it's AI and programming. No longer medicine, engineering, and doctor. Now come on. He's now a programmer, AI, software engineer, something like that. Then, what preferred country? Come on, country we might fight for country. But Nigeria cannot be it. That's no way. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, it's not possible. It's not possible. And then you now say son of God. You now go and say Nazareth. I mean, then, then you now say, where was he born? In a manger with horses. Hi. He said, this is the King of Kings. But that's God's plan. So where you are might seem off. But don't allow it to disconnect you from God's promise for your life. Many times it is this start. This very point. I could move on, but it's this very point that believers disconnect. This is where they begin to doubt. The doubt starts from now. What are you saying? I mean, Moses comes before slaves and tells them, we are going to be free. And there's a land with flowing with milk and honey. Come on. They're like, Pastor, don't come wash us this Sunday morning. Don't come wash us. All these pastors, they're going to tell you those big things. Can more go ask, more go suffer. Why do you want to go on? Why not just believe me? Come on, just believe. I'm telling you that God has good things for your life. Jesus Christ died for you. And all these good things, come on. it's just because of his love, his mercy, and all that. It's not about what you deserve. It's not about where you are. That's the point. We must connect with God. Connect with God. There should be no disconnect. You could be very far from the promise of God right now, but the promise of God will stand sure. The promise of God will stand true in your life. Are there people in church? Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Stand true. Connect with God. Open up your heart and say, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe. You might want to do it radically. You might want to close your eyes and see the good things you desire in your heart that God put there for you to desire and say, Father, today I connect with you. I believe. I believe. Blessed is he that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believes. You must believe. This is the connect. It is this starting point. It is this starting point. This connect. It must be there. If you don't connect, you can't flow. If you don't connect, the water can fill the reservoir, but it cannot flow into your house. So you must connect. I connect with you. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. It's not about my condition. It's not about my so-called disadvantage. With you, there's no advantage or disadvantage. You are able to say with many or with few. God has said it. Come on. You can say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So somebody say, what about my failures? What about my sin? What about my faults? What about the things that drag me down? What about my character? What about all that? God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And by his grace, he's able to begin to fix you up. If you only connect. If you connect and say, like Mary, come on. This is how you connect. Be it unto me according to your word. I know all the things you have said, they are too much. I don't know, but okay. Be it unto me. And I don't want to say I don't believe, sha. Come on. You talk a more. But you know what I'm talking. I know what I'm talking. I don't believe all this is really talk. But be it unto me. This is the starting point. I'm telling you. No, he doesn't mind that. Don't worry. He's bigger than that. He's a big boy. He can take care of that. You can say, just say it. You may say, it's tough, it's hard. I'm, you know, all those things. See, it's if he's washing, but you say that to me? To me? He says, yes. I want to make your name great. Say to me. And then, Father, I give you praise. Be it unto me according to your word. That's how we connect. Once you say that, you say, be it unto me according to your word, you connect. Once you connect, come on, the water in the reservoir begins to flow into your life. But if you don't connect, no matter how big your God is, come on, no matter how big your God is, it won't work. You have all the water, but it won't flow into your life, no matter how big your God is. So you have to connect. You have to say, be it unto me according to your word. I don't see it, but blessed is she that believes. Come on. For there shall be what? A performance of those things. It shall be a performance of those things. The God's word is seed. The greatest thing in your life is the word of God. Not your condition. Not your presence. The greatest thing in your life is God's promise. Once you have the word of God, your condition, your presence, all those things will be settled by the word of God. In that word, there is seed, there is power to bring it to pass. You see it now. When you plant, when you take a corn seed, corn, inside the corn seed, come on. Inside that corn seed, there's the ability to produce the corn. You're not going to try. You're not going to do hula dance around it and say, hey, corn, come on. Corn will come out. Why? It is a corn seed. In God's word, there's the ability inside of it. Somebody says, Pastor, it's not hard for you, brothers and sisters, it's hard for me. But I just choose to believe. That's what it is. That's why it's belief. You see, so are you telling me, I mean, God's goodness, and you know, he has given us his word, and through his word, stay with me, you can see his goodness. Take David. Alright, you see, they are not just stories, they are for us to help us believe. Help us give our own story. Your own story too is inside too. Come on, are you still here? Your story is inside. You know, those are those people's stories, but it is from their stories you can open up your heart and say, whoa! He did this for them. He did this for them. He did this and he did that. All right.
He will do it in my life. Your story too will become beautiful like their story too. If you continue to look at these people, that's why we're looking at the children of Israel. That's why we want to take, follow them through the journey to Canaan. We want to look at this journey and see. And they got to Canaan. No, we've already read the thing at the end. All the promise of God came to pass. Not in fear. Right? And they were slaves. In Egypt. And now, when they got into the land, guess what? That house, now your house. That vineyard, cut and follow that side, now your own. Get it right? Come on. It happened. Really happened. Really happened. They had all those things. God brought all those things into their lives. But they connected. Did it happen with Mary? Come on, what about Joseph? Did it happen with Joseph? Connected. All of them. The word of God will always come true. We have to connect. Break the disconnect and say, I connect with God. Be it unto me according to your word. The truth is, he wants to magnify himself through your life. That is why there's always that disconnect. That's why it's always as if it's bigger than you. He wants to do that. Remember when we read in Ephesians, you have to stay with me through the course of this season. A lot of Bible scriptures where it says he wants to show his kindness. I am the object through which he wants to show his kindness to all generations. He wants to gather angels. He wants to gather all the in the ages to come. Can you give me that scripture, please? He wants to gather everybody and say, see, I'm a good God. And come on. This, look at this person's life. And the person is just standing there with all those good things. And he says, you see, I did that. I'm good. That's what he wants to do. Okay. Can I? It's a very bad example, but it's the best one in my mind right now. I'm trying to help you because of the way you are looking at me. We have to connect before we move to the next point. We have to connect. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
You move to a store. You know, a store. You get a store in a shopping complex. And then you are given the choice to pick because you are among the first people who picked the stores. And so there are restrooms. Come on, restrooms there. Restrooms. All maybe like 10 restrooms. It's a very bad example, but just try. You can close your eyes if you want to. And then this is. Then you get there, and then you secure your store. And then they say, quickly go and secure a restroom. Then you choose one. And then you wash it and it's clean. Come on. Just because you want to, you have ulterior motive. Come on. You need one. And then you look at that and you wash it and it's clean. What did he do to be clean? Come on. Nothing. You chose this one for your purpose. Come on. So that when your guest comes, they have a place to use. And you don't want your guest to come and just have a messy place to use. And so the toilet there doesn't have any, it's just there. But your guest come and say, "Woo! You are so neat." They say you are neat. Who is enjoying the neatness? What's enjoying the neatness in this case? The toilet. Come on. I told you, I try. I'm working harder than anything. I'm trying. Because you guys are not getting the point. This goodness of God thing is too big. It's just too big. Somebody like, why? That in the ages to come. Nobody should ask me this question again. 2 verse 7. Ephesians 2 7. That in the ages to come, he might show. Not this one. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. In his kindness towards us. Through Christ Jesus. He wants to show it. And you are just the object. Enjoy being the object. Alright, I have a good one. Thank you, Jesus. First, I take this babe to an eatery. And you know, Prosper wants to relax and says he's a good guy and he's a nice guy. And then somebody comes and they serve, say, later they bring stuff, serve them. And then he says the bill, and then he brings the bill, and then he looks at the bill, and then he just brings his card or whatever and pays. And then he just dips his hand into his pocket. You know, the baby's there and says, take this one, fine. And they say, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. She's just, you know, you're like the gay. Now, this one, they try to please. Come on. And then when they are going out, the security men, they open the door. Come on. Then he just does that again. I said, thank you, sir, thank you, sir. Guess what the babe, guess why he's doing it? They are just enjoying free money. If he has his chance, once they are going to the car, you go back, okay, give my money. That's prosper. But God won't collect anything back. We are the objects. We are just lucky. It just falls for our heads. Don't ask me questions. I'm just telling you, that lady, when they say go and serve that guy, and I remember one now, thank you, Holy Spirit. I remember one now, I took my car to the car wash. My car was dead. And when I got there and to wash the car, there were several people there and they just gave it to this guy. And then the car was there. And my car was very bad that time. And our road was very bad, so the car was very bad. And he gave it to this guy to wash. And somebody else came in, and they started my car even before they are washing their cars. And I knew my car was very, very dirty. And I was going to do something more. I knew how much to pay. So they washed that guy's car, finished. This guy was still washing my car. And they were laughing at him. I'm not joking. I was there. And God is my witness. I was there. It just came to my mind now. And I was there. And he was still washing my car when they were done with their two cars. So they sat down and they were just looking at him and laughing at him. They said, our boss, you're washing a very dirty car. They were there. I was there. I don't mind. Finished washing my car. I tipped the guy and they were all. Come on. You say, you just want to do something good. Just want to be a blessing. I could pay my fare and my due and walk away. But I tipped the guy something times two of what was. No, I paid and I gave him right there in front of them. That's the goodness of my heart. I don't know the guy. You see? The goodness of God. Just wants to lavish on you. It's not for anything, nothing more. Then finish, I'm gone. Never see him again. But I want to do something great in your life. It's not about you. It's just, so, I mean, those guys there could just think about the fact that they would have wanted to be, hey, if Nami washed that car. Now, suddenly, it's not me, watch the car. Yeah. See, go and serve those people food. You just go there. At the end of the day, Prosper is tipping her. She's like, okay. But it's not about the lady. You see, she's enjoying because of something else. Can we put that up again for me? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. He just wants to do it for you. So you need to connect, open up your heart, and say, Father, I believe. Stop this deserves. I deserve this. I want to deserve. I get what I deserve. No, it's you get what the love, what God promised you. You receive from the love of God. You receive out of His rich kindness. Come on, out of His mercy. Guess where you are getting your stuff? They are coming from. They are coming from what? Come on, you have to talk to me. You are coming from what? His mercy. Come on, somebody says His love. They are coming from His grace. That, where do you receive from? Come on. His kindness, His love, His goodness, His riches, His abundance. That's where it's coming from. That's where you receive from. That's where I receive from. That's where you receive from. If you open up your heart. Thank you. Thank you. Aha. Canaan is God's promise. God's promise, God's kindness, God's goodness. It's not about what we deserve. Not a deserved land, it's a promised land. Point number two, there's a disconnect from where we are, but he chose us. He promised us. And then we might not be it, we might be slaves in Egypt, but He has promised us Canaan. We might not be, we can calculate it and it seemed not to work, but He promised us and He chose us, and so we will get it, we will enjoy it. I choose to believe. I release my faith and say, Lord, I believe. I believe. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Point number three. I'm going to round up with point number three. I'm going to leave you out with point number three. Point number three, the work begins. The work begins with prayer. The work begins with prayer. Point number three. Point number one, Canaan is God's promise. Point number two, there's a disconnect that we must connect in our belief and say, this promise is not to work for me. And number three, the work actually begins with prayer. You know when you say Jesus started with prayer? We will start with prayer. There's this pressure in your life. There's this pressure in your life. In Exodus chapter number 3, we'll move to Exodus chapter number 3. There's this pressure in your life when you have the promise of God for your life. You have the promise of God. You have believed. The problem is that many believers have the promise, I have believed, and they walk away, and they say they're waiting. No. This is what you must do. In that process, even in the believing process, this is what you must do. The Bible says in Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 9, God's power came to bear in their lives from this point. Look at it. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is what? Is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Listen to me. It is not that God has just seen the oppression, but the cry of the Israelites have come unto me. Prayer. We must be full of prayer. We must be a people of prayer. These good things in your life, you will see them in your life because you stand in the place of prayer and you cry out to the Lord. That's very important. You know, somebody talk about Word Pastor Church. It's a word church. I love this church. It's a word church. We're a word church, but we're also a praying people. We're praying people. And people take prayer somehow for granted. I just said it just now. God's word is the first thing, the best thing in your life. God has said it, and that is the matter. God's word is the highest thing in my life. But that doesn't stop that place of prayer. It doesn't stop me in the place of prayer. They had the promise of God, but they had to cry out to God. Come on. They had to cry out to God. We must be a people of prayer. Somebody says, I can't pray. I mean, whatsoever it is ye desire, you know, when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. I can't pray. Pastor, I don't know how to pray. They moved, they began the journey. The work started from the place where they began to cry out to the Lord. You must be able to cry out to the Lord. You must know how to pray. You must learn how to pray. You must say, Lord, teach me to pray. Until you cry out to the Lord, you will not begin the walk to Canaan. You will not begin the walk to see the good things of God in your life. It is important. Are you still here? It's going to be a long series. I'm going to connect everything together. Almost all our Christianity will come from Canaan from Egypt through to Canaan. Everything will be inside. Prayer is inside now. Prayer is important. You can enter into the good things, see the good things that God has for you without prayer. You know, we come to pray, we pray, shut up, and then people are just looking for us. I say, you don't understand me. No problem. But there's no way. The cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen also the oppression. Somebody say, yes, he's seen the oppression. He's seen, but you have to open your mouth and pray. You have to cry out to the Lord. Like Bartimaeus. Come on, like Bartimaeus. Right? In Mark chapter number 10, look at that. Mark chapter number 10. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Tertius, sat by the highway's side begging. His life was in one place begging. Next verse. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The 10 lepers, remember the 10 lepers, they cried out also. There's always that cry to the Lord. Somebody says, Pastor, I want to enjoy the good things of the Lord for my life this year. Glad tidings of good things. The work begins with prayer. No, we said, we have connected. I'm connected to God. We have connected. I believe everything you say. Then here's what you know. Now begin to pray. Now begin to pray. You know, we are in pressure. We are in distress. There's a lot of things in our lives. And we want to move from Egypt. There's slavery. There's oppression here. So what do? We sleep and say, I don't know how to pray. No, you must learn how to cry. Every believer that must enjoy good things must learn how to cry out. You must cry out to the Lord. It's like the widow. You know, the husband died in 2 Kings chapter number 4. The husband died and she was left with a debt. Great debt. And she didn't mind. Nothing happened. When the creditors came to take her children, she ran to the prophet and cried out to the prophet. There's always a crying out. Look at your scriptures. The 10 lepers, blind Bartimaeus, children of Israel. Come, we can't move. We can't begin this walk to the good things that God had in store for us without prayer. So I'm going to urge you. I'm going to leave it here because I'm out of time. But I'm going to leave it here. But we must be a people of prayer. Come on. We must be a people of prayer. If you must enjoy good things, you are going to pray. You are going to have to learn how to pray. You are going to have to open up your mouth. You are going to pray. You have to wake up in the night and pray. You have to get up by 4 a.m. and pray. You have to come for Tarry 1 Hour. Tarry 1 Hour is this Saturday. This Saturday, Tarry 1 Hour, 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. we are praying. You have to come and pray. I mean, this prayer is important. So go back to Exodus. Give me 3:9. So we look at it. They prayed. They cried out to the Lord. He said, the cry has come unto my ear. Now therefore, come on, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come, what? Unto me. If they didn't cry, they wouldn't have gotten distance. Are you still here? So point number 3, come on. The work begins with what?
Prayer.
No dulling, no quiet Christian, no quiet Christian. You have to pray. We have to really pray. The cry has come unto me. Brothers and sisters, This is very important. This is my start point. The first point was God. Second point, us. Connect. Now, the first thing, God enters into the matter. He enters in when they begin to cry out. Blind Bartimaeus is called to Jesus when he cried out. The 10 lepers cried out. You cry out to the Lord. The widow saved her life, her children, because she cried out to the prophet. A lot of times we are in stuff and then we keep quiet. And we sleep. We are tired. We are burning. They add work to your work. The life is getting harder and harder, harder and harder. Guess what somebody is doing? He's trying to work harder and harder. Stop working harder and harder. Go start praying. Things are getting tougher. So someone says, I'm not going to pray. I don't know how to pray. I cannot pray. Pastor, you pray. You are sweating. You sweat. His sweat became a stick drop of blood. Okay, I just have 1 year sir, for that one. It's okay. It's okay. Say, Pastor, let's be comfortable. Let's be comfortable. Let's just say, Jesus, we love you. And let's go home, eat our rice, and hope that things will change. No. No. We have to pray. We have to get on our knees and cry out to the Lord. We have to say, Father, you know that thing, enough is what? Enough. That is where we do it. He says, enough is enough. If the situation must change and you must begin to move into good things, enough has to be enough. If you are still taking it, then you'll be there in Egypt. You'll be there in Egypt and suffering. But if you say, I'm not taking this thing anymore. Father, my situation must change. I have your promise. And now, based on your promise, I come to you. This is what you have said. And you are praying. And you are praying. And you persevere there in prayer. You get, then the work begins. The work begins. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bow your heads this morning? Would you bow your heads this morning and say, the Father, I'm ready to enjoy the good things you have in my life, you have in store for me.